time. Good morning, good morning, good morning. It is time now for Tech Talk. Charles and Charles both in the house. Charles Squared. I like that. How we doing, guys?
Charles Squared.
Yeah, that's right.
Who's the right side of the square, though? That's what I want to know.
Yeah. Well, exponential means it's more than just two.
There you go.
It's not one plus one.
No, one plus one. Okay, Charles and Charles then. Here we go.
Well, we're getting a facelift. Yeah. I mean, this building is getting painted. It looks beautiful. I like that pretty white. Now, if it was me, I would have painted it red, bright red, so that everybody that drove by knew exactly where you were at. Just look for the bright red building. That would have been, come on, Kevin.
Well, inside here, it looks like, for you listeners out there, all the windows are covered up, so it's just like we're underground now.
Yeah, it feels like, I've been in this all week. It just feels like a dark chapter in my life. You don't see any sunshine. You just feel kind of cooped. I had to go out yesterday and actually breathe for a minute. They're painting the building, and it's a lot of work to do.
Oh, it's a big building. Yeah.
It's a big building, and there's a lot of little cracks and things, that needed to be sealed up, and it's seen better days. Mm-hmm. It's an old building.
It is.
It's kind of like Kevin. It's just breaking down. I'm kidding. I'm kidding, Kevin.
Come in on Monday.
We love that guy. He's on vacation. I think he took the right time to take off. He didn't have to deal with all this. Not see it outside, but it is pretty. I went out and looked at the building the other day, and I was like, wow, this looks really nice.
It does.
I still wished he'd have done it in red, though.
Yeah, so you're kind of used to having the windows, so yeah, it's a little different for you.
Yeah, I have no windows, and everybody was thinking I was closed because it was really slow for a couple of days, but it was funnier. The Amazon people thought, I'm not parking in there. I'm not going in that door. So they just rejected my packages and credited me, so I had to reorder them and reorder them.
Oh, boy.
So finally yesterday I got some of them. I put a big note on the door. I'm open. Get in here and give me my packages. Yeah. But it's when you go through something like this, it's a major overhaul, but it looks beautiful when you see that building.
Yeah, it'll be good. It's
so
progress.
If you drive by KWON and the radio station's K-Rig, just come on by and you'll see this big, beautiful white building. It looks nice.
Well, Charles, we'll move so fast you don't have to worry about any kind of, if you're just constantly in motion. What's that?
Yeah, but I'm used to working in an environment with no light and no windows. The data center environment that I'm working in now, it's just like there is no windows, so we don't know what it's like. We don't know what the weather's like. I mean, it's in the center of this building that, has no windows, so you don't hear anything.
Yeah. It's quiet in here all the time, too, unless these guys are working. You can hear them sometimes, but it's quiet in this building.
It is, very.
Yeah. Well, you got soundproof rooms and everything. It's just kind of nice.
Mm-hmm.
But I was going to talk about, in technology, Microsoft. Did you see that they announced that they're kind of pretty much closing offices indefinitely? They're going to be working from home. I don't think they're going to open up their locations like they once had.
It's not the only one. Everybody's, if they're not doing it, they're experimenting with the options. Because, it's quite a culture shift.
It is a major
for the employees. When you're working for a big company, you're used to being around a lot of people. And when it's not like that, it's just kind of a new world. But both of my daughters work downtown here, and they like their at-home work.
Yeah, well, I can see it being a point. But, when you've got, let's say you have a Microsoft Surface computer, and you want to get it repaired, you don't have a Microsoft store to go to now.
Well, you never had one before. What makes you think you ever had one?
Well, they had them in malls at one time. You could walk in and send your device off and get it repaired. You can't do that anymore.
Yeah.
And you can't send it to Frank's house. If Frank is working from home, you can't just send your laptop to him.
Yeah.
It's got to go to a lab somewhere and get repaired.
Yeah. So. Well, they don't really repair anything. They're not a hardware. It's a software company.
Yeah.
So software companies are probably easier for them to work remote because you're online anyway. And remoting in is pretty much a standard fare.
Well, the Geek Squad at Best Buy, they're the ones that are getting overloaded because right now, you got to understand, they're the only Apple care center other than Apple. Apple has its stores, but most of those are closed down.
Yeah.
And then the ones that are open, they're limited on what they can do. So they've been sending everybody to Best Buy, which Best Buy is an Apple care center, and then the Geek Squad's fixing all this stuff. But some of it has to be farmed out. And guys like me, they're third-party repair. We have the ability to repair a lot of these things, but we can't get all the parts because they're only going to China. So understaffed that all of our parts are going to, Best Buy and places like that or Apple Care Centers. We're not able to get all the stuff. So some batteries we can't get. Now, people will always call in and say, well, I saw them on Amazon or eBay, but those aren't the products that we put into devices. Mm-hmm. Those are aftermarket, really cheap copies. And a lot of times you can put a battery in a laptop or in a tablet, and it'll fail in a month.
Yeah, you don't know where it's coming from. That's
and it's
the
been
thing.
Sitting on the shelf forever.
It's almost like eBay is being taken over by Amazon, because the same stuff that you used to look for on eBay, you know, used equipment and that kind of stuff, now eBay's taking that market.
Yep, they sure are.
So, yeah, it's a different day. But, you know, overall, it's a different day. It's a different year. It's like a whole decade started here, right, in the first of a...
Well, you know, I got busy this last week, Charles, and talking about technology. I got busy trying to figure out, you know, if you boondock, like in an RV, let's say you just go somewhere and you're going to boondock. My son, he's working on his property, and right now he doesn't have water and electric, so he's having to deal with barrels of water.
Yeah, which
and he's
is
having
heavy.
To deal with, because he's trying to clear his property and he's working up there, but he doesn't have electric. So we were trying to figure out what's the best ways of running electricity other than running a generator 24/7. I mean, you can't run a generator 24/7. So we've been looking at options of solar power, you know, doing some things like that. So I've been jumping into the solar panels and you know, Harbor Freight sells one that's 100-watt solar panel. That's a really nice kit. And, I mean, this kit is powerful. It does a lot. But then you still have to look at batteries. What types of batteries do we run? Do we run there's so many different types. You've got the acid lead batteries. You know, then you've got the lithium. Gelled batteries. Then you've got the lithium batteries.
Yeah.
All three of these batteries, and then you start studying and comparing. And, I mean, when you go to this lithium, I mean, these batteries are $400 or $500 for one battery.
Oh, yeah.
You know, you're talking a lot of money.
Well, look at all these cars that are going electric. I mean, look at the batteries in those things.
Yeah,
they're big. They're big.
So in my thoughts, in the environmental scheme of all this stuff, when you're stopping and thinking about emissions and all the different things, what's the difference in the batteries? Because the batteries you have to recycle as well.
Yeah.
And lithium is just as dangerous as carbons.
It's not as bad as lead acid, though.
Yeah, well, lead acid's much worse, and I understand that. But what I'm saying is, how is that going to make it any better when you got all these lithium dump sites? You're going to have to change out batteries.
The bigger issue is the raw materials it takes to make that stuff. Now we're digging into the stuff which is not that common.
Yes,
you know,
exactly.
Making these, and that's why I think that Tesla is working on a huge battery plant. You know, they're getting serious, because it's all about that kind of stuff. You know, figuring out something that's going to be sustainable, because after a while, you just run out of resources. You use it up. Mm-hmm. Unless you can recycle it, you know, it's gone.
Phillips 66 is working on hydrogen cell batteries right now as we speak out there at the research center.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, hydrogen cells. I've seen those coming out, too.
Yeah.
But, you know, one of the things that I discovered over the weekend with my son's issue, I have a 10,000-watt generator, and it's a hybrid, so it runs on gas or propane. And the only problem is, it's loud. I mean, you can hear it. No deer is going to be within 100 miles of you. It's just so dadgum loud. So we did go to Harbor Freight, found this generator that was a 3,200-watt that would power an RV pretty easily, even with AC.
Mm-hmm.
And we did an experiment, ran it for an entire tank load of gas. It was 2.5 gallons to fill it. And it ran for 15 hours and 32 minutes.
Hmm.
I mean, that's pretty powerful.
Mm-hmm.
And it was quiet. You can stand next to it. It was 57 decibels. We speak at 67 decibels to 70 decibels, just speaking.
Mm-hmm.
So this thing was super quiet. You couldn't hear it inside the RV. It was just that quiet. And it ran all night long, running electric, all of the air conditioners, everything, on one tank of gas for the entire night, 15 hours and 32 minutes. I was pretty impressed.
Mm-hmm.
So as we're getting that technology growing, and we're trying to figure out these batteries, because your lithium start at like 30 amp hours and go all the way up to 100 amp hours. And these 100 amp and even 200 amp hour batteries, I saw them online. I mean, they get expensive. But, you know, an amp hour is pretty heavy. I mean, you could probably power an RV with a little bit of solar help for an entire day, I would imagine. You know, so we're doing experimenting. I'm experimenting.
Well, I think you have to learn how to use less electricity.
Mm-hmm.
You know, things like refrigerators, they're not very energy efficient. You know, unless maybe there's some better ones now in these RVs and what have you. But that's all kind of changing because, for example, I used to work for this alternate energy company where they made these solar collectors.
Mm-hmm.
And these were like 40-foot dishes that had like 42 little panels that focused on this little ceramic plate. So it would focus the sunlight on one little 8-inch plate that was ceramic, and it just, you know, got super hot. I mean, it was so intense that you could take that beam and weld. You could cut the metal.
Oh,
wow.
That's how intense it is. So you don't want to get in the way of this thing. Mm. So, but anyway, those things were set up in the desert. You know, like, for example, California has three plants like that, you know, using these panels that we were working on. Because I was working in Arizona at the time. And they were generating, you know, quite a bit of power. And it's all designed for peak power. So it's designed, like, for example, they wake up in the morning and then they track the sun all day. So they're moving like this. And then and then they go to sleep at night. But I think we need to learn to do that. We need to learn to turn the lights off at night.
But you can't really do that in some senses because, like, for instance, an RV, you do have a refrigerator. Yeah. Now, there's some that run on gas.
Yeah.
And so at night, it can run off the gas, the propane. But, like, my refrigerator runs on electric.
Mm-hmm.
So we're talking about 110 all night long. It's got to run on it. And it only really draws power when it's kicking in the compressor.
Right.
That's the only time it just starts really generating some serious power. They call that the spike power. When it starts doing that, then, of course, you know, you're going to have some kind of electrical source, and whether it be a battery, but you can do away with all the other electric. Like if I was out going fishing or something, I'd shut everything off except for that refrigerator. But all the other power, there's no sense in running AC. You're not in there. But keeping that refrigerator going, you got to have battery power.
Hmm.
And so, you know, like mine's got an inverter built in, so it'll kick in to power that. But the problem is you have to have enough battery to keep that inverter running all day. So we're experimenting with these lithium batteries and seeing, you know, is the lithium going to be better than the gelled one? And you can get them cheaper if you just go get an acid lead battery. But the only problem is, over a period of time with the charge and discharge, you're actually saving to get a, you know, lithium battery. Mm-hmm. It's just, in the long run, it's going to save you.
One thing that Charles Moll was saying, harken back to what our fathers used to say. Turn off that dang light. Do you think we're made of money?
that's exactly right.
People leave the lights on everywhere they go. They don't even need them. They got the lights on.
Yeah. Look at all these buildings downtown. You know, you have these huge, you know, high-rise buildings, and they heat and cool those things. They probably use more energy than residential.
Oh,
yeah.
And they're running all the time.
Oh, gosh. Yeah.
Could you imagine? Yeah. Wow. I'd hate to see their bill.
Mm. Oh, boy. We've got more coming up on Tech Talk after these words.
There's nothing better than homegrown family fun, and the Washington County Free Fair is celebrating 107 years of food, fun, and family entertainment. Today,
we're saluting the bounty of our county. Come out and support the 4-H and FFA guys and girls as they show their livestock. Horses and beef, dairy cattle, swine, sheep and goats, the darling rabbits and poultry, as well as pets.
Check out the exhibits from fruits and vegetables to art and photography, clothing, needlework, crafts and science projects. So much talent, so much hard work, all in one place. The free fair is open to the public today, 9 to 3. For details, go to countycourthouse.org, click under the county information tag, and select fairgrounds and free fair.
It's all in Dewey at the Washington County Free Fair.
Join the homegrown family fun.
And we're back with Tech Talk, and you can always talk to us at 1-800-749-5936. Charles Mald, Charles Miller, all right here. Both Charles in charge. I'm Tom. I just pick up the phone and yak a little bit. These guys are the experts, and we're getting techie with it.
Well, we're kind of venturing out on the edges of our expertise.
Yes.
So that's never been a problem before.
But we always have to learn, too, don't we, Charles?
We do. Yeah. Well, it's a constant learning environment. You know, that's what we live in now. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not just technology. It's just everything. It just changes so fast. So, like we're talking about all these power issues. You know, like, for example, I remember working for a summer job at the smelters, you know, where they had the zinc plant.
Mm-hmm.
And that they converted to the electrical plates, you know, so instead of, you know, the smelting process, it was electrical plates that soaked up the, mm-hmm. and they were much more pure zinc. But anyway, that place, it used more electricity than the whole city of Bartlesville.
You know, my.
So that's a lot of electric.
Yeah.
And guess who's now the, you know, they're gone now. I think they're, I don't know where they're at now, but look at the plant, the Walmart distribution facility.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
That is the largest freezer in the country.
In
the country.
You know, I didn't know that.
So they've got their own power coming from, you know, if you look, they're going out towards the dam. From the Verdigris Valley area. Huge power requirements. And that's what I think that's one of the biggest issues that we have. We're such pigs as far as using electric.
We use a lot of electric. Yes.
Yeah, I mean, in your average house now, we just plug in more devices. I mean, we can't get enough receptacles.
Yeah.
You know, to...
And helping him, my son, get water, for instance, even the same thing with conserving. You know, those barrels take a lot to fill up a 55-gallon drum of things. So everybody takes shorter showers. And up there, they have it planned out in his RV that he takes, gets wet, and then puts all the soap on with the water off, and then you rinse. You have to learn to conserve. And if we could do that with electricity, it's the same thing.
It's just learning
to conserve.
Right. We just need to become more aware of our consumption. You know, we're the one thing we're good at is we're good consumers.
Oh, we can do that without trying.
But this arrives in everything that we do. I mean, our computing, everything. Think of all the stuff you have running around your home as far as, like, security cameras, all the different things that are running in your house 24/7.
Right.
You know, there's a lot of consumption.
Yeah, like all the power requirements, like on the computing side, you know, you probably lose like 20 or 30% of power requirements every year now for the last several years. So, you know, the processors and the motherboards and the systems don't take near the power they did, you know, just a few years ago. So we've made major strides in these newer systems as far as making them more efficient. And that's what we need to do with other stuff, because other things are just, you know, like the HVAC stuff. You know, when you get a central unit, that's probably your biggest consumer of electric, besides your freezer and your refrigerator and that kind of stuff. Well, all that stuff is kind of evolving. So like now, for example, if you're looking at a new home, you'll be looking at like those mini splits. You're dividing up, you know, and using lower power requirement devices that don't take that kind of electric.
And I have to tell you, my bill for my building, because it's on a mini split, is a quarter of what my home bill is.
Yeah, I believe it.
And it just runs so smooth. You know, the mini split systems, and I'm thinking about, my house was built in 1935. It's old. But they built it really solid, so it contains the heat and the cool air for long periods of time because it was built so structurally good, you know, with the stone and everything.
Good bones.
But it does. But I've been thinking, if I can go up into that attic up above, which is giant in this house, and put in a mini split system, then I can power the whole house with this cooler air, but it'll kick on only when it needs to.
Right.
And then it runs at a low level. But they have what they call vampire load, which all you guys that are air conditioning guys know what I'm talking about. When your compressors kick in on a regular HVAC, it just kicks in. It eats. That's where your power bill comes.
It dims the
lights.
Turning
on all that stuff.
Yeah.
But once it gets running, it's okay. But it's like the mini splits, they come on very gradually.
Right.
And they don't have that compressor load just like the other.
I have a mini split. It works great.
Saves a lot of money.
It does. It's very good.
Plus, they're not just that they're energy efficient, but they have a lot of other features and things that make it much more user friendly, I think.
Well, distributing the air you know, is another thing. So with the central unit, you're pumping everything from one central unit. With mini splits, you divide them up.
Yeah.
So now you have less air. You know, you distribute the heat and the cold where it needs to be.
And, you know, going to like a motel, a lot of these have those built into the wall units.
Yeah.
And how that works is when you're not in the room, it goes into an energy saving mode. It senses when you're in the room. It has a sensor that shows that there's movement in there. Because my mom used to always complain about that. She'd go, we go to the motels, and then we get in bed. We're freezing to death, you know. She says, because I get – or she goes, I get really hot at night, and I want it to start being cold because we're freezing to death during the evening when we're up and walking around. It's just blowing all this air on you. But as soon as you go get into bed, it gets hot. And I said, that's because, Mom, there's a thing in there that's a motion sensor that senses motion, and it makes this thing come down when you're not using it. So the temperature will go up, you know, in the room because it's not going to cool it as much. You're moving around in there. It'll cool it. But if you're not, it's not going to cool it. So she used to lay in bed, and she said, I'd have to wave my arm in the motels to get it to come back up to temperature. But, you know, that's how mini splits work. In my shop, I have two big units in the main room. So if I'm working on half that bay, the other side goes into a lighter mode, and it doesn't move. But it also has this follow me thing. So if I'm moving around in this one space, the louvers all follow me and keeps me cool. But if I'm not on the other side, it doesn't cool as much. So you can disable that and go to straight air, you know. But it's kind of a nice feature. It saves me a lot of money because I'm not on that side working. So why does it need to be as cool?
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's pretty nice.
Yeah, it makes a lot of sense.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back with more Tech Talk after this one-minute timeout.
Want to get a hot and perfect body fast? It's so easy. All you have to do is eat lots of bananas, but peels only, and always be sweating, but never look sweaty. That's disgusting.
Don't follow extreme routines. Do your own thing at Planet Fitness. Now through September 16th, join for just $1 down, $10 a month, cancel anytime, and get back to a real routine with tons of equipment and free fitness training in our clean and spacious clubs. Join today for $1 down, $10 a month, and cancel anytime. Hurry, deal ends September 16th. See club for details.
Ernest Heat and Air says, don't let the summer heat catch you off guard. Have your air conditioner serviced or replaced with a new high-efficiency air conditioner. Call Ernest Heat and Air today at 918-335-3057 to have your AC checked. That's Ernest Heat and Air, 918-335-3057, 709 Northeast Washington Boulevard in Bartlesville. And remember, it's hard to stop a train.
Check their website at ErnestHeatAndAir.com.
Good morning, 753. Our phone lines are open for Tech Talk at 1-800-749-5936. Adapters, what are we talking about, guys?
Well, USB-C.
What's
you know,
that?
Like the new USB. You know, we thought we had a universal connection with the old USB, which is the little flat-looking bar.
That you stick into your laptop or thing?
Yeah, okay, like a mouse or whatever.
Right, you hook up whatever you need to, you know, your printers. Everything hooks up to kind of a universal connection. But the USB 1 and 2 now have fallen away and in favor of this USB-C, which is a little smaller jack. It's got rounded corners, and you don't have to worry about being right up or down. You know, you gotta
just plug it in.
Plug it in, and it works. So engineering-wise, we gained a little bit on that one.
Yeah.
But the other side is now you have an interface that works for so many different things. I mean, you can hook up an HDMI monitor, for example.
Sure. Yeah.
You can hook up a you know, and your printers and what other kind of interfaces? Ethernet. You can have an Ethernet. Like, for example, my laptop does not have an Ethernet port.
Right.
So it uses the USB-C. Mm-hmm. So I plug that in. And so now the little adapter, you can get one that takes it to a standard USB 2 or, you know, type connection. But you can also get the little universal adapter that has like four or five different ports on there, and that one of them would be an Ethernet, one of them be HDMI, one of them would be like the USB 2, one of them be, you know, so you got all kinds of different
and they're
things.
Universal, so you can use them however you want to power.
And the other thing is, like, for example, if you have you'll hear this Thunderbolt feature. Thunderbolt means like this thing runs 2.5 times faster than your Ethernet, you know, so performance wise it cranks a lot of stuff through that little bitty port, like like your video monitor. You could have a really good quality monitor with lots of resolution driving off your USB, so you can have an external one, you know, that uses that. So that's why the laptops have went to that, because now they can use that one plug for all these different functions without having to put a bunch of different connections to that to that laptop. So you'll see that more and more now, because like on my Chromebook, which is probably like 4 years old now, it has both the USB-C and it has the USB 2. So, you know, because they say, well, people are going to be transitioning.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they are a little better as far as not damaging ports. The USB-C, it has, like you said, you can stick it in either direction. It doesn't matter. You don't have to sit there now and look at it and say, which way am I going to plug this in? It just plugs in. And the great thing about it is it's now so much more efficient for not bending pins and all those things in there.
It is more solid.
It is more solid. But you're going to have to go get dongles for things like your old GPS that you need to update. It's got that old USB 2. You're going to have to go up to the USB 3. They call it the C cable. And you're going to have to get a female USB 2 to a male USB 3. And that's going to fix that problem. And this little dongles, I looked at them last night. It was $9.95. You can get one and be able to plug all those devices, still be able to use your old mouse that you may have. Or
well, like, has a cord. Like the phones. You'll see the phones are using the USB. Mine's a USB-C.
All except for Apple. They're still on the Lightning. But their laptops have gone to USB-C.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's a more standard way of connecting. That way you don't have to have an Apple device different from, you know, it makes more sense to have something more universal. It's just companies, they just want their proprietary stuff, so you have to buy their stuff.
Exactly. And Apple's new phone, the iPhone 12 and the 13 that are coming out here pretty soon, are all USB-C. All
right.
We've got a quick call if you guys are ready to entertain one.
Sure.
Hi, good morning. Welcome to Tech Talk.
Good morning to you all.
Hey.
Hey, I was just listening to your Tech Talk. Interesting. I didn't realize that the smelter plant used that much electricity.
Mm-hmm.
The Walmart distribution center doesn't surprise me. You can see the big power lines.
Oh, yeah.
They're huge.
Yeah, running across the highway there.
Yeah. But my question is, we keep adding more and more and more to the power grid.
Mm-hmm.
And now it's a big push for electric vehicles and rechargeable batteries. And I've heard it spoke many times that the grid will not support the vehicles.
As it is right now, it will not, yes.
Right. That's why I think there's this major infrastructure push to try to, you know, up the ante, because the power requirements has been going up for 50, 60 years. You know, the power requirement just overall is really demanding. But I think that's why we need to focus more on trying to use less electricity. And that's why you have, like, the computers have low power requirements, and everything is starting to get low power, you know, so it's not so demanding. But the grid, yeah, that's a kind of a challenge. But, you know, like on these hybrid vehicles, part of how they work is they're actually charging while you're driving, you know, so now you're not depending on the grid totally, unless you have an all-electric vehicle. So that's why I kind of like the hybrid model, because it does keep your battery.
Yeah, it runs on gas for a portion of it and charges your batteries while you're driving. Yeah.
Yeah, so that works well. But, you know, it's...
To be honest with you, I am not a supporter of electric cars anyway. Okay?
Yeah.
I'm just not.
Yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
And there's a lot like that. Yeah.
But as far as... I have an electrician friend.
Okay.
He's retired now. I asked him one time about, you know, putting in these charging stations and residential places for, and he suggests he has installed some of them. Okay. But he said it's about like wiring in a weld machine. And if you've ever used a weld machine, let me believe you, that thing will suck the electricity fast.
Oh, boy, will it.
I think we've just run out of time. We're kind of at the end of our program, but hey, thanks for calling.
Yeah, appreciate it. All right, let's do it.
Dignity, compassion, excellence. Stump Funeral Home and Crematory, Bartlesville, Nowata, Barnstall.
This is KW.